I sent out a teaser video to YouTube and Facebook, a live one. We'd never done that before, so it was a bit of an experiment, and we failed at it a couple times. Then I think we finally got it working, and I think it went out. It appears to have anyways. But in that video, I asked a question, and I said, what if you didn't know, but then you found out that some long-lost relative somewhere had left you a huge inheritance? And the question I had for you, would you want to know about it? You know, would you be like, no, I didn't know the person. It doesn't matter. No, I don't know about you, but I would be the first guy to contact whoever I was supposed to say, hey, you know, tell me, what's the inheritance? You know, is it land? Is it cars? Is it money? You know, what is it? I'd want to know. You know, hoping obviously it was like a free island in the Bahamas or something. But you know, I'd still want to know regardless of what it was, whether big or small. And I think you would as well. And so with that in mind, here's what I want to tell you with absolute certainty. Contained within the pages of the Bible is all the information concerning your inheritance and mine. Here's my question to you this morning. Do you know what your inheritance contains? And then the next question is, are you enjoying your inheritance? You can see that there's multiple levels to this. You may not know what your inheritance is, and then you may know what it is, but then it's a third step to actually be able to act in it and enjoy your inheritance. You know, just back to my illustration that if you knew that there was an inheritance and you knew what it was, but let's say it was money, let's say it was $1 million, and you knew about it, you could go around and tell friends and neighbors, hey, I inherited $1 million, and they say, well, what are you going to do with it? And you'd say, well, I haven't got it yet. Well, after a while, that's going to get old, isn't it? You know, just talking about it, you want to live in it. You want to enjoy it. And so for us as believers, it's not enough for us to talk about our inheritance. We need to believe that God wants us to enjoy our inheritance now, to act upon it right now. So with that in mind, I'd like to begin to look at this concept of us living in our inheritance, living your inheritance this week. And so if you have your Bibles, if you go to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, there's a portion of scripture there I'd like to read. 1 Peter 1, beginning at verse 3, says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept reserved in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all of this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though now, having not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I want to take a few minutes and look at this portion of scripture because just reading it, you know, you kind of go through it and there's so many little nuances, so many important truths that are here for us. So let's just take a look. Look back at verse 3. You know, it praises God. We're to praise God, you know, the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. But it says this, in his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so as I look at that scripture, I can see it here on the big screen as well. I need you to see something that is so important. You see, first of all, the resurrection of Jesus at the bottom there, but he's giving us new birth into a living hope. And so how do we have this new birth? This is so, so, so important. And again, I don't know what audience I'm speaking to. I'm speaking to believers. I'm speaking to unbelievers. I'm speaking to seekers. You know, there's all different groups here. But let me tell you something. If you want your inheritance from God, you have to be born again. That's like playing Monopoly, and everybody starts at go, and then you roll the dice, and you start going, and then you get to play the game, you know, the game of Monopoly. It's the same with walking with Jesus and receiving and walking in his inheritance. You cannot receive what God's got for you unless you become born again. You can't get to God through spiritualism, through Eastern mysticism, through your own path. You know, you can't just say, well, I'm going my own way to God and expect to get what God has for you. No, there's only one way. And there's a reason why there's only one way, because God wanted to keep it simple that way. So let's talk about an inheritance for a minute. For you to receive an inheritance, usually there's some type of connection to the person giving you that inheritance. It's very rare for someone to give an inheritance to people he or she doesn't know. And so here's the thing. Jesus paid the price for you and I to come into a relationship with God. And so that's what it means by becoming born again. When we say yes to Jesus, when we admit that we're sinners, when we admit that we've rebelled against God, and by the way, all of us have, no matter how good we've tried to be, we're never quite good enough for God's standard. And so when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that God loved the entire world, that he gave his life for everyone. In other words, there's enough of Jesus, and I don't know how this works, but there's enough of Jesus for everyone upon the entire earth, that if everyone at the same moment said, Jesus, come into my heart, that at that exact same moment, Jesus could come into every person's heart at that moment. It's the most amazing thing. And then you become what Jesus refers to in John chapter 3 as becoming born again. So you have to experience the new birth through the resurrection of Jesus before we can even move forward into our inheritance. And that's where that scripture that we had up there was so, so important. All right, so we have a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. You see, if Jesus just died, I'm not sure many of us would be convinced, because think about this. Lots of people die, but no one has come back from the grave and told us that there's a living hope. Jesus Christ was the only one who did that, amen? And so that's a wonderful thing. But look down at verse 4. Into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept, and then I have in brackets, reserved in heaven for you. So let's look at this for a minute. This scripture is like the next step. So here we have the new birth. That's the first step. We accept Christ. And as a result of it now, the Bible says that there's an inheritance that can't perish, spoil, or fade. Well, obviously, then that means it can't be cars. It can't be a house. It can't even be land necessarily, because all that deteriorates, if you know what I'm saying. You know, it perishes, it spoils, it fades. And so obviously, it can't be speaking of that. It must talk about something else other than that. Now, again, we're going to talk about the fullness of what God's inheritance is for us in a little while, because it does include the stuff of this world as well. But right now, let's focus on the spiritual aspect. And here's what it says. It says this inheritance, in the version I'm reading from, it says kept in heaven for you. Well, that word kept in other versions actually says reserved. So here's the thing. When I go to a restaurant and I've called in advance, what do you do often? You know, especially if it's going to be busy there. You know, you get what? Reservations, right? You say, look, I'd like to reserve seating for four. You know, I'm having a couple friends come and we're going to be there at, you know, a certain time. And so then you show up at the guest services and you say, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm Carl Forrester. I'd like, you know, to receive my reservation now. And they're like, okay, yes, and then they take you and seat you, right? Now, what if you didn't have reservations in especially some restaurants that are busy? You're going to go up to the counter and they're going to say, oh, sorry, you're going to have to wait an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours. But when you have a reservation, it's available for you right there. Now, when you first glance at this scripture, you get the idea that this inheritance is just kept in heaven reserved for you. And the idea of that is that when you die, you have eternal life. Now, is that true? Yes, it is true. Amen. And that's probably the biggest part of our inheritance. And we need to realize that. I don't want to diminish that at all. But I want to tell you something. I believe that there's more to this than that. It's reserved or kept in heaven. In other words, when we experience the new birth as part of our inheritance of as sons and daughters of God, God has an inheritance reserved for us. In other words, it's set aside for us. And it's in heaven, meaning it's in eternal places. But that doesn't mean that you and I can't go and take a withdrawal out. In other words, God wants us to go and use our reservation. Imagine I make a reservation at a restaurant, but I don't go and enjoy the meal. That'd be stupid, right? So that's my point, in that it's reserved in heaven, but it's reserved for you to go and be a partaker of it. In other words, to take a withdrawal out of it. Now, why can I say this? Because all of Scripture bears witness to this. Let's talk about this for a minute. In the Lord's Prayer, the disciples said to Jesus, "How should we pray?" And as part of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, this is how you pray, that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how on earth are we to accomplish God's will on earth if we don't have the inheritance we need to do it? And that's just so important. Now, let's think about this in another way. Here's Jesus. He walked, you know, in his public ministry for 3.5 years. He was on the earth for 33 and a half years. But for 3.5 years, we have a snapshot of his life in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And as we look at his life, what did he do? He went around preaching the gospel, sharing the good things of God, the kingdom of God, and doing what? Healing people. Now, if Jesus was the only one that did it, we might say, well, look, at then he was just being an example of what it's going to be like in heaven. But what did he do? He said to his disciples, I want you now to go and heal people. And he sent them out on several occasions. He sent the 12 out once. He sent the 70 out another time. And so my point is that what did he do? He multiplied himself through his disciples. He wants to do that right now. In other words, to take the inheritance that we have as believers and begin to multiply ourselves. What about the feeding of the 5,000? Here's Jesus. Now, if he had just done it, we could just, you know, say, I guess Jesus just did it. He's gone to heaven. Can't do it anymore. But he blessed the offering. He blessed what was going to be distributed. And what did he do? He gave it to the disciples. And then the disciples gave it. And as they were giving it out, the miracle happened. What was Jesus showing? He was saying, look, take the inheritance that's been reserved for you in heaven and use it in this life. But so often, here's what we say. Well, I haven't experienced that in my life. Well, have you maybe not experienced it because you haven't acted upon it? You know, it's easy to say, well, it's not happening in my life and go, oh, kind of let your arms hang down, your head hang down, say, oh, I guess God doesn't want to use me. I guess God doesn't. Well, have you let God use you? Have you taken time to, or taken the chance, taking the risk, taking the faith opportunity to pray for someone even? You know, how can God use you if you're not willing to be a yielded vessel to him? And so I believe that a lot of us miss out on God's inheritance because we just haven't taken that step of faith to say, God, use me. And then when God says what he wants you to do, whether he speaks to you through his word or by that still small voice on the inside, don't say, oh man, I wish I hadn't prayed that prayer. Now you're talking to me. No. No, don't be that way when God speaks. Act upon it. In fact, as you look at the scriptures, every time God spoke to his people and they acted upon his word, signs and wonders happened every single time. The Bible says in Isaiah that God watches over his word to see that it performs that which it was sent out to do. And what is it sent out to do? To produce fruit. God wants to invest his inheritance in us now so that he can see the fruit of his blessings upon us and upon the world around us. That's God's heart for us. So as we look further on this scripture, it goes on and it goes on to, let's look down at verse 6. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. What a picture of today. We could easily say, well, look, you know, I'll enjoy my inheritance when COVID's over, you know, and I pray it's going to be over, and I pray it's going to be over soon. But listen, God wants you in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the tribulation, to operate in your inheritance. And it's just so important as believers. There it is right there in Scripture. Jesus could have had this written down in the Bible yesterday. That's how current the Bible is. I want to tell you something. Though it's ancient, these writings are ancient. They're as relevant today as the day that the ink was still wet on the page. And we need to believe that and see that from Scripture. Let's go on to verse 7. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Here's the deal. When you're squeezed, what comes out of you? And that's literally what this scripture is saying, is that you'll find out who you are, the genuineness of yourself, when you're squeezed through the trials and tribulations of life. Let the circumstances squeeze you, but let Jesus flow out when it happens. Don't let cursings, don't let wickedness and jealousies and contentions and all those evil and old things of the old flesh come out. But let Jesus come out. Let his loving kindness, his grace, his mercy, his humility, those kinds of things flow out of you when you're squeezed through the trials and tribulations of life. This is the difference between someone not following Jesus and someone following Jesus. When both are under trials, when the storms of life are coming upon both houses of their lives, which one shines for Jesus? Which one crumbles and which one doesn't? Let's be the house that stands firm when the storms of life come. Amen. That's what this scripture is talking about, to stand firm. And so let's go on, because this is actually the crux of where I wanted to go to today. As we go on here, look at verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. I want you to look at that for a minute. Yeah. Here I am, I'm standing on a stage, you know, and it's a solid stage. In fact, I helped build this stage. You know, there's some faithful brothers and sisters helped build this stage, and it's solid, and it's going to be a lot of years before it crumbles to dust, but one day it will. And as I look at what I can see right now, I see the sanctuary, I see some of the staff here and the music team here. God bless you guys for all that you're doing, sound engineers, all the things that you do. You know, and you're sitting in chairs, some of you are standing. You know, here's the reality of it. The ground that we're on, the building that we're in, will deteriorate. So we might say, but this is more real than what we can't see. Here's the thing. I have seen Jesus heal. I have seen Jesus take a cold, hard heart and turn it to mush for him. I have seen signs and wonders beyond, you know, in my natural mind, my wildest imagination of my natural thinking. I have seen God do things. Now, have I seen Jesus physically? The answer is no to that. But I have seen the handiwork of God. In fact, all you have to do is walk outside and see the trees and see the water and see the grass and see the sky and just see all of his creation, because the Bible says this, all creation cries out that there's a creator. You see, you can't have creation without a creator, and that creator is God. And so that's how real he is. And just putting that scripture back up again, if you just look at that, it says, though you don't see him, you love him. We can love him because of what we do see. We see his creation, his handiwork, his pastels of the fall of the sky as the sun's going down, or as the sun's coming up in the morning, all the colors reflecting on the clouds. Let me tell you something. That's God's canvas. It's amazing what God does every day all around us. Amen. And so we need to remind ourselves that what we can't physically see is more real than what we can see. And what we can see reflects the unseen one who created what we can see. But look at this last verse. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about this. The end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The most important thing to God is for you to be saved. And you're saved by simply asking Jesus to come into your heart. And this scripture means that, but it means more. The word salvation, or being saved, is sozo in the Greek. But what it also means is to become complete or whole. So it's not just being saved and getting to heaven. It's about being a complete person. It's the feeling you have maybe after a hard day work, or you accomplish something great and you take that sigh and you go, oh, that was good. And you're able to kind of rest in that event or that situation that happened. Well, literally, that's what God wants you to be able to do with your entire life. In other words, to be able to reflect on your life and take that sigh and say, oh, this is good. I've been made complete in God. Here's the thing, for some of us, we're pursuing the wrong inheritance. We're focused on the wrong things. And as a result of it, we're fighting on the inside. Let me relay a story. It's a true story. How many people have heard of Stanley and Livingston? They were explorers back in the late 1800s, 1870s actually, and they'd gone to Africa. And in fact, Livingston had gone there and had not been heard of for a couple of years. And so a newspaper company sent one of the reporters by the name of Stanley to go find him. And so he ultimately did find him, and they actually became friends. And then eventually Livingston died. And so Stanley, a few years later, goes back to Africa to explore Africa. And so as he's there, he talks about the fact that he had 32 gun battles with natives as he was going up the river. He was searching for the source of the river. And so as he was going up the river, 32 battles. And so he relays how things changed, that there were no more battles. So as he was going up the river, obviously he was dealing, they didn't have all the pills they have now, so he was dealing with malaria and sleeping sickness, whole bunch of different sicknesses. And because he'd been to Africa several times, he knew that the best thing for him was goat's milk. And so when he went, he would always take a female goat that was milking so that he could drink milk from that goat to settle his stomach and give him enough nutrients to keep on going. And so he had this goat with him. So he's going through all these different battles as they're going upstream. And finally, they get to this huge encampment. And the chief there, he was kind of a nasty kind of guy. And the guy that was with Stanley said, look it. You know, you need to make an agreement with this guy because he's a really important chief. And so Stanley says, okay, yeah, great. Sounds like a great idea. Let's make a deal. I'm tired of gunfights. You know, one of these times I'm probably going to get killed. So let's try something different. So the guide went and talked to the chief, you know. And so he comes back to Stanley and says, look, you can make a deal with him, but you've got to give up your goat. And Stanley's like, but that's all I've got. That's all I have. You know, it's the thing that sustains me and keeps me. I am not giving up my goat. And the guy says, look it, if you don't give up your goat, if you don't make an agreement with this guy, this is going to be a problem for you later on. And so Stanley finally says, okay, look it, the guy, I think he knows what he's doing, so let's do this. So he gives up his goat, all right? And so what happens is, as part of this, then the chief gives a gift back. You give a gift, you give what's prized to you. That's what they did in that culture. And then the chief would give a prize back. So Stanley gives his goat up, you know, his precious goat, and the chief hands him a spear. And so it's a spear with a little copper coil on the top of it. And so Stanley on the inside is like, oh, this is a great deal. You know, I can get a spear anywhere. I got this stupid spear. What am I going to do with this? I lost my goat. You know, this is horrible. So he's in his boat with the spear, you know. And so they finish their trading there, and they start heading upstream. Now, normally, every few miles, literally, they'd be fighting. Other tribes would be coming out of the trees and getting into canoes and trying to attack them. All of a sudden, all the attacks stopped. And he thought, that was really strange. And so they get to the next village and they pull in, and everybody's on the ground with their heads to the ground. And Stanley's looking around saying, man, this is unusual. What's up with this? And the guide says to him, well, what did you expect? And Stanley said, what are you talking about? So here's what the guide says. He says, you know that spear that you're holding right now? That represents the authority of the strongest tribal chief in the entire area. Because you have exchanged gifts with him, you are now under his protection. If anybody messes with you, they mess with that chief. See, that was the last gun battle that Stanley ever had to deal with back there. Once he carried that spear. Now, why do I bring that story up? You and I. Now, let me just finish something. Think about this. He gave up the goat, because I don't want to forget about it. This is important. So he's holding the spear. Think about this. He gave up the goat back there to the last guy, to the tribal chief, the head guy, to get a spear. Now, guess what he could do with that spear? Every tribe he went to, he could get 100 goats if he wanted. He could say whatever, he could get whatever was in the possession of any tribe he came across. He could say, I just want that. And they would hand it over to him. So he gave up one goat to have access to whatever he needed. Are you maybe holding on to your inheritance, your stuff, maybe your way of thinking that you've inherited from your background? And you're fighting for it, you're striving for it, you're hoarding it, holding on to it like crazy. And God needs you to surrender it to Him. And if you're willing to do that, you'll get back much more. But it takes an act of faith to do that. And so in closing, there's a little chart I just want to show you. Hopefully the guys can find it. And what it is, it's Jesus' death and resurrection. That's what it starts out with. Just pop that up there, all right? It says Jesus' death, resurrection, inheritance. Do you see that? It should be, it's in the PowerPoint. It's right there. You don't have it? Okay. It should say, Jesus' death, resurrection with an arrow, inheritance with another arrow, salvation of souls. Should be right there in the PowerPoint. Yes? No? Can't find it? There it is. Thank you. So just have a look at that for a minute. This is, in a sense, to summarize, and that's why I took the minute to just make sure we have this. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we have access to his inheritance. And because of his inheritance, we can become complete or whole with our souls. And what's our soul? It's our mind. It's our way of thinking. It's our very life. But as long as we don't do one or two of those steps, we can't be complete at the end. It's got to go in that order. We've got to accept Jesus. We've got to become one of his children. And as one of his children, we now have access to the inheritance. And in having access to the inheritance, we now, as we walk in that, we can have completeness of soul. We can have peace in our hearts. Amen. Now, we're going to talk a little more about this in the weeks to come, because how do we possess this inheritance? You see, it's one thing to know about it. It's one thing to acknowledge it. But how do we possess it? And are there hindrances to possessing it? And the answer is yes to it, but I believe that God has a solution. He always has a solution. Amen. So let's just take a moment and pray. Lord, I thank you for every person that's been listening through Facebook, through YouTube, live. Bless them. And Lord, I know that many more listen later as well. They're maybe doing busy right now, and I get that, but they'll hear this a little bit later. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that we can all come to a place of experiencing the new birth. That if we don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that's our go-to place. That we make a decision right now in our homes, right now, you know, in our cars, at our job, you know, wherever we are right now, wherever we are, that we would say yes to you and accept you into our hearts and begin that new birth experience. Begin that walk with you. And Lord God, in beginning that walk, we then can experience our inheritance. That we can realize that no matter what we've done in the past, it's not that we earn or deserve our inheritance. We receive it because we're son and daughter. We receive it because of relationship. And so, Lord God, I thank you for that. And then, Lord, as we begin to understand the fullness of our inheritance, that we release the things that we've tried to inherit in our own strength, because it hinders us from receiving what you have for us. And so, Father, as we do that by faith, we then would become complete. Our soul would be completely saved. We'd be complete and whole in you. Lord God, I pray for wholeness and completeness as we walk with you. I thank you for every believer, Lord. I thank you for every seeker, Lord God, that's listened to this message. And I pray right now, Lord, that you would make yourself more real to each and every one of us. I just thank you and praise you for how real you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If this message spoke to you and encouraged you, is it possible it may encourage someone else? I encourage you, you know, send the link to other people and just say, hey, you know, have a listen to this. You know, Pastor just spoke about something that really encouraged me. And let's just get the word out and let's encourage those around us. God bless you. We'll see you soon.